Welcome back to Truth Worth Living. Grateful to see that everyone survived the eclipse. You know, here we seek to understand God's word so we can live in His will. And we've been in the book of Hebrews. In the middle of Hebrews chapter 12, the writer makes a motivational speech exhorting the believers to run the race they began with Christ. And the message was that if you finish faithfully, then you win. Now today, he's going to tell us that we have the responsibility to create an environment in which all the runners that we run with, those on Team Jesus, can win. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. So the question today is, how do we create this winning environment so people can run to completion? Well, first, he says we must make every effort to pursue peace. That is, every effort means do it tenaciously. The word peace means a state of undisturbed well-being. Now, interestingly, when it comes to peace, we're generally pursuing whose? We're pursuing our own, right? We pursue our peace at the expense of others. We demand they meet our needs so we can have peace. But this verse says that the environment for success is populated exclusively by people who fight for the peace of others. In Romans, Paul wrote, "As much as it depends upon you, live at peace with all men." It's our responsibility. We are to voluntarily sacrifice for others' peace. Even if that peace wrecks yours, you should pursue peace. It's not easy because we're conditioned to pursue ours. But as Jesus taught us, God blesses the peacemaker. God blesses the peacemakers. But that's not all. We are to pursue their peace and our holiness. Now, we know that we're made holy through faith in Jesus Christ, but we only realize holiness through submitting to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What happens if we fail to pursue holiness, if we fail to submit to the Holy Spirit? Well, the scripture says, without holiness, no one will see God. So not you or anyone else. Your holiness enables other people to see God. And so holiness in our sphere of influence causes those we influence to see God and inspires them to finish the race. So if we want to create an environment conducive for winning, we must pursue their peace and our holiness. Second, he says we are to promote grace, which eradicates bitterness. Look at verse 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now, this is not work hard enough to earn grace. That's an oxymoron. You don't earn grace. But he says we need to be intentional that no one misses the mark of grace. Now, what is that? Well, when we have been marked with grace, we become conduits of grace, extending the right hand of fellowship to those who have been ensnared by sin. And when we extend grace and forgiveness, we teach others the gospel of grace. What is that gospel? There is no entitlement. There is no idea that I deserve this or have earned that, and therefore, there's no reason for bitterness. See, when do we become bitter? We become bitter when something is owed to us and we don't get it. But in God's economy, we have been given everything we need by grace. And so when we're in touch with the goodness of His grace, the contagion of bitterness is eliminated and we are spiritually healthy enough to run the race to completion. Third, he says, in this environment for winning, we must eradicate the desire for immediate gratification. Look at verses 16 and 17 again. See to it that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. And afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Now, what is the connection between sexual immorality and Esau? Well, both demonstrate the push of impulsive gratification. I think sexual immorality speaks for itself, but do you remember the story of Esau? He had been out hunting, didn't have any food, came in famished, and Jacob had been in the kitchen making some delicious tomato-based stew. Okay, and as soon as Esau returned and smelled the soup, he had to have it. So according to Genesis 25, he said, and I quote, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." Well, Jacob, who was always conniving and certainly an opportunist, said he would sell some of that stew to him for his birthright. And Esau said he was dying anyway, so what did the birthright do? Nothing. They struck a deal. And essentially what Esau was doing was forfeiting the long-term blessing of God, the Abrahamic blessing, for a bowl of soup. It was sad, but he made a god of his appetite and turned his back on his God, the Creator God. So the idea here is that if someone had been there to say, "Hey, Esau, hold on, think about this, think about what you're doing," then Esau would have immediately snapped out of it before it was too late. That's what happens when we pursue immediate gratification. We don't snap out of it, and we go too far, and it is too late. That's what spiritually minded communities do. They help each other snap out of it before they go too far. They provide vision for their members so they deny themselves the impulse to gratification so they can run the race to win. That's how we create an environment for winning, and this is Truth Worth Living. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you're having a great Tuesday afternoon. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night as we continue our study in Colossians, and then on Sunday morning as we continue in this fantastic series as we're exploring Jesus the Seeker. Have a great day.